A very good morning to you all, and welcome to day 36 of our 40 days Lenten reflections and prayers. Our text for reflection is Luke 22, the verses 35 to 46. Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. It is written, 'And he was numbered with the transgressors.' And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." The disciples said, "See, Lord, here are two swords." "That's enough," he replied. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." In this passage, Luke takes us to the Garden of Gethsemane. The space within Jerusalem was so limited that there was no room for gardens, and so well-to-do people had private gardens in the Mount of Olives. It is thought that some wealthy friend would have given Jesus the privilege of using his garden to fight his lonely battle. Jesus Christ was only 33 years old, and I think no one really wants to die at 33. He knew what crucifixion was. He had seen it. He was in agony. And this was a turning point in his life, because he could turn back if he wanted to do so. He could refuse the cross. But why did he not? Because the salvation of the world hung in the balance as the Son of God literally sweated it out in Gethsemane. Thank God he won the battle. He went to Gethsemane in the dark. He came out in the light because he had talked with God. He went to Gethsemane in agony, but he came out with the victory won and with peace in his soul because he had talked with God. His prayer was very simple. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." When the world seems hard and your fears are overwhelming, do you have the courage to say, "Lord, your will be done"? What is on your mind when you say those words, if ever you say them? Do you say them in an understanding of helpless submission, as one who is in the grip of a power against which it is helpless to fight? "Your will be done" could mean the death nail of hope. That is, we may see it as people who are utterly frustrated and believe the dream can never come true, or we can't do anything about the problem. In the wake of mental turmoil and the turbulence within our souls, it is easy for us to accept defeat and entertain thoughts such as, "Nothing will ever work out. I am too old to start my career again. There is no point in trying now. I will never be happy. I am not worthy of love. My relationship can't get better. I will never be able to afford what I want. People are not just nice to me anymore. That is helpless submission. Or do you say your will be done as one battered into submission? That is the admission of complete defeat. For some people, when defeat overtakes them, the easiest and most logical thing to do is to quit. That is what most people do. But Jesus did not quit. He said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." And he said so with the accent of perfect trust. He was speaking to one who was Father and whose everlasting arms were always around him. He was submitting to the love that will never let him go. The hardest task of life is to accept what we cannot understand. But if we are sure of the love of God, we can accept His will for our lives at every turn. This text reveals something about the character of Jesus and provides an example for how we can face the great trials of life. Jesus was dependent on God and committed to do His will. He faced his trial by turning to God and not to human methods and schemes. He revealed his intense emotions to God in prayer, and not to some man or woman of God, not to some bishop or prophet or apostle, but to God. Compare Jesus to his disciples in the text. The disciples had only their exhaustion and emotional pain to deal with. When Jesus Christ encouraged them to pray, all they could do was sleep. I venture to say there are many people with mounting problems who are sleeping instead of talking to God. And if awake, some are relying on celebrities, superstar pastors, and spiritual diviners to pray for them. Dear friend, everything about Jesus models how we should face the tension of trial and temptation. Jesus was not spared the trial, but he was supplied with the strength to face it. He did not hesitate to ask if another way was possible, but he affirmed his resolve to go the way God wanted him to go. Heaven responded not by granting Jesus' request for another way, but by giving him the strength to face what God had called him to do. It is this union between submission to the divine will and the supply of divine strength to handle our problems that is at the heart of our passage. You are struggling with some difficult problem in your life. An illness that has been there for far too long. A form of brokenness in your marriage, your job, your family, or in your community. Are you in a crucial moment of your life and need to make a decision that would either break or profile you into some significant level of achievement? You're wondering what role God might play in these challenges as you wish to pray, "Lord, your will be done." Jesus Christ was committed to heaven and heaven was committed to him as well during his time of trial. Let us learn that lesson. And let us trust that if we turn to God, he will strengthen us to fight the battle of this life until his good purposes are fulfilled for us. As Jesus goes closer to that cross of shame, let us pray with him. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Assist us mercifully with your help, O Lord God of our salvation, that we may approach with reverence to the meditation of those mighty acts whereby you have given us life and immortality. Lord Jesus Christ, our most adorable Savior, behold us at your feet, imploring your mercy for ourselves and for all people. Apply the merits of your passion to which our meditation is directed to us, and grant that while we trace your conflict and sorrow, our hearts may be touched with true contrition for our sins and learn to accept with cheerfulness whatsoever you require of us, whether to do or to endure, you who live forever and ever. Amen.